America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yes!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, Matty Essig in to ride shotgun for this one with Anthony at the elusive noon on a Thursday wedding. Yes, that is real. But Matt, we always start off with what we call the amuse-bouche, right? Let's just get our palate going a little bit. Let's get have a little fun before we dive into the meatier comments. And we got two varieties this week. Apparently, I gotta check this out and see if there's anything we can do about it. I mean, the video is already on the internet, so we're probably just gonna let it live at this point. But apparently, in the latest episode of Take Command, the film review from earlier in the week, there's a section where my camera went down. And so there's a part where apparently my lips are moving and I'm talking, or my lips are not moving on the video and I'm not talking. And so someone was like, hey, why are Craig's lips not moving while he's talking?
It's spooky season.
And then someone was like, the video is just a loop of Craig, of him listening intently. They must have messed up his camera or something. And then Austin 2591 says, he saves a Craig listening and nodding intently .mp4 file on his desktop for just such occurrences. An MP4 is a video file, in case anyone's lost on that one. Which I feel like I just ruined the joke because I had to explain it, but I don't know. There's also people that didn't get the joke because they don't know what an MP4 is.
It's your background. You just need to have a little bit of the, what do they call it for, in film, when you have to have like the little
like B-roll?
Bits. Yeah. It's your B-roll. You have
typically
sit and stare B-roll.
I wonder what happened, because typically when we have issues, what we do is we just put whoever's talking on a one-shot. Like, you can take me out of it. I don't need to be there intently nodding while Logan does it. I guess the problem might have been I was talking and the camera messed up. So you can't put me on a one-shot if I'm the one that's messing up. Otherwise, you have Logan listening to me talk and Logan's on camera.
That would be a pretty terrifying one-shot of you just staring there, staring at the screen, not moving your mouth. But all of a sudden, there's just noise coming out.
Yeah.
I
think we should have made a graphic. I think whatever I'm talking about, we should have made a graphic. All right. We'll have to talk to the production department. Anyway, the other amuse-bouche that we have is we have a comment. We did our tier rankings yesterday, and we put the Commanders up in our puncher's chance category. And Raymond Smith 2040 says, Matt, talk to me after the offseason about being contenders. After the offseason, which is the season, which is where we are right now. So, Raymond, we are talking to you about being contenders. And exactly when you asked. After the offseason. Unless you meant next offseason. But then that we'd already know, because this season would be over. See the flaw in that?
Yeah, I'm confused.
Yeah. I think he meant after this. I don't even know what he meant, because after the season doesn't make any sense either. Raymond, you need to try again. You need to try again.
After the break, maybe? I don't know.
Sometimes we just have a little fun and then we keep moving because we think too hard about it.
That's why you don't read the comments.
Brian, you get Maddie.
I get it.
You get it. All right. Here's the actual comments on said power rankings. Maddie McMatmat 5822. Is that you?
That is not me.
That is not you? Oh, that's right. You're Maddie McMatmat 5823. This is Maddie McMatmat 5822 goes, chill. We are 4 weeks in. The Earthaholic says, we're regular echelon right now, which, by the way, I love that. Because the video title is, have the Commanders made it to the upper echelon of the NFL? He says, the regular echelon. That's my goal in life. I just want to be in the regular echelon, baby. We have to beat Baltimore and at least split between Dallas and Philly to get into the upper echelon, but I'll take it, because last year we weren't even lower echelon. We were echeloff. Hail to the Red Manders. Honestly, that's one of the best comments we've ever gotten on a video in the history of the channel.
That's a good one.
That's pretty good. Sean, come on, says, to me, we still have to get over one more hurdle before I can go all in. That is beating the teams we are supposed to beat. The other games, we were the underdogs. Now we are the favorites. We almost always have lost these types of games when we are the favorites. And I'm shaking like Scooby-Doo over this Browns game. Hail. To the, like, chill, we're 4 weeks in thing. Yeah. And I think we've done a good job on this show, at least trying to say, like, all we're doing is looking at what they are right now. If the season was 4 weeks long, they were one of the best teams in the NFL. So, we know it's not. We know that the season will continue to go on, but they have been, so far, one of the best teams in the NFL. I know a lot of potential flaws and things that need to get fixed and improved, and some of those, by the way, are on the right track. But through 4 weeks, we're allowed to say what they've been, which is good. We don't have to reserve credit for things that have already been done. And I think that's kind of my point to all of this is like, yeah, do I want to see more? Of course. I'm not like, oh, hey, they deserve a Super Bowl ring right now. Or even, hey, I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl right now. There's a difference between looking back and evaluating and projecting that forward. And I think I've tried to do my best to say where those lines exist. But realistically, like, they've been really good and we shouldn't feel afraid to say that. And like, Philly has looked not great and Dallas has got some issues and New York is kind of what we thought they would be. And so, you know, when we say like, oh, they've been the best team in the NFC East so far, it doesn't mean that I think they're actually going to win it. They've got a one game lead and they're, I don't think, the most talented team. So there's a great chance. And by the way, they haven't faced New York or Philly, Dallas or Philly at all yet. So they've got 4 games remaining against the 2 teams that I think are bigger, or the biggest threats to them. But they have been the best team so far. And I just think it's okay to say that. We don't have to chill on that. That's fine to say. Just we don't have to then take that and be like, they're going to the Super Bowl. Because they're probably not. Maybe they will. But probably not. Very, very much likely. Probably not. What was the craziest thing said on your show today, Maddie? Matt, for those that don't know, especially like in the YouTube audience that's not as familiar, don't listen to the radio all day. Matt is the producer of the Chris Russell Show. And on Thursdays, Linnell is there and all hell breaks loose. And were there any over the last 2 days that Linnell has been in, especially? Are there any huge, we can call them overreactions, over projections based off what has been so far?
You know, actually, I don't think there really have been any over projections. One of the things that we've been talking about a lot over on on Chris's show is really, where is the state of the team, specifically the defense? Because we know what's going on offense. They are overproducing for what we thought they would be doing. They are fantastic in the run game. We did expect some semblance of a decent run game between Anthony Lynn, Brian Robinson. I mean, yeah. They had the staff, they have the roster. That wasn't going to be the question. The production that we're getting across all the receivers, the tight end work, the offensive line actually standing up now, not to the best opponents, but actually doing what it needs to do.
They were great last week. Yeah.
We've been doing a lot of, hey, let's take
just
a
taking deep, stock, taking inventory. Yeah,
because we are a quarter of the way through the season. We are leading the NFC East. We have, not arguably, statistically, the highest passer rating through 4 games for any quarterback for a rookie.
Yeah, and by the way, they've got the most efficient passing offense, second most efficient passing offense, most efficient rushing offense, I think I have those two right, according to like DVOA or all those kind, or success rate. I don't remember which one it is. It's EPA per play. That's what it is. Those two stats, like, they're killing it, which is pretty important stats because it's EPA stands for estimated points added. So it's like every time they run the ball, they're averaging like adding, some percentage of a point every single time, like a significant percentage of a point. So it's like, hey, if you run the ball 20 times and you have a +1 EPA, that's like you've added 20 points to the scoreboard based off of how well you're doing it. So there is so much to be happy about. And then defensively, like, yeah, there's been a lot of concerns, but how you think those things will trend. And I kind of think the offense will come back towards the middle. I think they'll be a top 10 offense this year. But defensively, like, they'll crack the top 20, I think. And so then what does that mean? And that's the hard part of like, okay, if the offense produces at 70, 80% of what it is right now, and the defense can produce 10 to 15% better, like, what does that actually lead to?
But the big question, obviously, being, is it too early to jump on the hype train? Is it too soon to be freaking out about how good we've been playing? No. You can absolutely jump on the hype train. The one thing that I will say is don't expect this train to exit at the Super Bowl or even definitely get to the playoffs. This is a hype train because they are playing well right now, and we're a franchise in an area that hasn't really been all that used to this success.
Yeah, I mean, I'm big on not telling people what to do with their feelings, but if I were a fan, I would probably, and like, this is what I'm doing is someone in my job who is not a quote-unquote fan, but like wants them to win. I'm trying to enjoy good football. I know that there's a chance that it won't last, and I trust that in the long term, they'll play consistently good football, even if it's, you know, years beyond this. Like, I don't want four great games and then,
no,
you know, four bad years. Like, I'll take the next four games regressing and then, you know, starting to pick up slowly, and then 4 to 8 years of great ball that follow starting next year. Like, I'm willing to be patient here for a long, long road of success. So it's going to be interesting to watch, but they also were doing things that feel sustainable. And I think that's the other thing too. It's not like sometimes you watch teams play and they're winning. Like, to an extent, the Chiefs right now, like, the Chiefs shouldn't be 4-0. Like, they've got some issues that are kind of big that they need to figure out. But like, also, I guess it's sustainable because Pat Mahomes is the guy that's covering for the mistakes, and he's always going to cover for mistakes, and their defense is really good. But like, those are the kinds of things where you're like, Baltimore, to reverse it, right? The Ravens started poorly record-wise, but they were playing good football. Like, eventually that was going to turn. And I think the thing for Washington is, if you don't just look at the record and be like, oh, wow, they're 3-1. If you look at how they're playing, they deserve to be. And they're doing things that are going to lead them to win more football games if they can just simply keep doing them at remotely close to the levels they're doing them now offensively and defensively. Like, again, the performance between Cincinnati and Arizona was not as big as the scoreboard would suggest. The difference is, one time they were facing Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison, who's a rookie, and the other time they're facing Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and they're not rookies, and they're really, really, really good. So that begs the question, should the Commanders try to improve their roster in the short term? If they can do it without doing anything negatively in a massive way to the long term, a.k.a. the Davante Adams question. We've talked about it a couple times this week here on the show, including with our guy Clinton Yates yesterday. I want to explore it, but I am out ultimately on it. Like, I have to think about it, but ultimately I would sit out on the Davante Adams trade. But here's what the listeners say, the commenters say. Terrence Cook, 9147, need too much help on defense for this deal. If we were contenders for the Super Bowl, hell yeah, but I would rather get a cornerback. To that, I would simply say, where are you getting your cornerback? Because that's not on the table. Like, again, I'm probably keeping my powder dry for reasons that we'll get to in a second, but it's not like it's Davante Adams or a corner. It's, do you want Davante Adams or not? And I think ultimately my answer would be no, but I have to think about it because Davante Adams is not some, you know, even a really good receiver. Forget a slouch. Like, he's not really good. He's a great, great player. So that, like, is kind of my response to this one. Reginald Revis or Regina L. Drevis. I don't know which one it is. I'm going to guess Reginald. Reggie says, why take yourself out of the T. Higgins sweepstakes? One, you never want to be in a sweepstakes because those involve bidding wars and that's a lot of money. Two, although I do think T. Higgins is a great fit here, like, they're different players. Davante Adams is a legit, still blue chip player, and T. Higgins is very, 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 very good. They're different calibers. And like what I just talked about, the difference in Ja'Marr Chase and Marvin Harrison Jr. at this stage of their careers is kind of, I don't want to say it's the same difference between T. Higgins. I think T. Higgins is actually probably a better player slightly than Marvin Harrison at this point. Like, he ain't Ja'Marr. He ain't Davante. And so they are different. But if you want to prefer to keep your powder dry and think you'd rather just pair T. Higgins and Terry McLaurin in the long term for next, you know, in next offseason and not give up any draft capital, I also don't think that that is a bad calculation. I just wanted to point out the difference. I actually come much more on this from Andrew Matthews, 2645, says their draft was so good that I don't want to give them, aka draft picks, away. The rebuild is ahead of schedule, but it's still a rebuild. I agree with that. That is ultimately where I come down, which is, although, as you'll hear about in our pick six coming up, like, they need more out of Mike Sanders still. And you know, second round pick, he has struggled at times. Ultimately, like, he's going to be fine. Sanders still is got all the right makeup, so many great skills. He's not necessarily making the same mistake twice, but he's making some new mistakes and that are maybe Cousins. But he's a young player that's going to get better. But like Sinnott, he is doing a lot of really good stuff that he's been asked to do. You see Brandon Coleman and how he's coming along. Obviously, Jaden seems to be a grand slam with the second overall pick. But you have a guy in Adam Peters you trust to draft players. And with that, and you see Jerzon Newton, by the way, second rounder, going crazy when he's on the field. He plays so hard. And if he figures a couple things out, like, he could be a monster, really great player on that defensive line. If you have a guy who's that good at drafting, why would you give up draft picks? It is the best way to acquire talent. And so Devontae, great, but I would probably not want to have to give up the draft picks that it would take to get him. I'm less concerned about the money because I would restructure his contract. He's got like no guaranteed money left, so you have some leverage there, and they have a ton of cap space. That's not the part that worries me. The locker room stuff, honestly, like, I think they've got a good enough culture here, good enough insulators, guys like Bobby and Zach who are older that could help, and Jaden, just the way he goes about his business, everyone kind of falls in line behind him. And in a shorter time period, like, I'm not that concerned. My concern is the draft picks, and that's the thing I can't get over and why I ultimately would not do the deal. Couple of good comments to end here. Good questions, good comments. This one I thought was just a good comment. William Bontrager, 2349, frequent commenter. Appreciate you, William. Always have good stuff. The most amazing thing other than Daniels is there have been almost zero drops from anyone. Terry might have the only drops this season, and those were on difficult catches. That's incredible. I think the overall level of offensive execution is worth shouting out, which is why I picked this comment out. The receivers in general have been very, very good catching the ball. I think the routes have been pretty good. They've done a good job blocking for each other and in the run game. The tight ends, same thing. Good routes, good distribution. They've been just Bates and Sinnott as blockers. Holy crap. Like, there's going to be situations this weekend where they will have John Bates block Myles Garrett. And I don't want that on any kind of regular basis. And I hope it happens on like the backside of a rollout the other way. So let's get Jaden a little bit extra space. But the fact that you can even think about doing that is crazy. John Bates has been fantastic at the very specific things that he wants to do or is asked to do. And then he's the threat enough in the pass game that you can't just completely ignore him. Obviously, the running backs, the offensive line, like, they're getting better week over week, communication-wise. They just, everyone in the way they're playing offensively from an execution standpoint is outstanding. And I think that does go back to Kliff. Like, they're so confident and so sure of what they're doing that there's no hesitation and just a freedom to go out and not think. They're just doing, which is the best way to play. You're just locked in, and you know exactly where you need to be, and stuff happens like you expect it because they're well-taught. It's well designed. It's well called. Jaden's obviously doing a great job. But then
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Everyone else just has to fit in, and boy, are they doing a great job of that. And then last but not least, question from Mike Hughes, 3965. So I hear people saying that Kwon is doing a good job. I don't really notice him a lot during games, so am I missing something? I'm curious if Tyler Owens might bring a little more back there. The Owens part of this is very silly because he's an undrafted free agent rookie, stop asking for too much from undrafted free agent rookies, especially when it comes to replacing guys who are playing well. I will say, like, Kwan is quieter than you would think based off of what the coaches say, but it's in part because when you're a DB, part of what you do is you shut things down so they don't happen, right? So he's doing a good job in the post, and there's nobody open downfield, so he doesn't have a play to make because the quarterback doesn't throw it. So there's situations like that, but also if you want to see the impact of Quan Martin more directly and his physicality and how it shows up, watch at the end of plays. Like, whistle's blowing, who's around the ball? I guarantee you 20 is going to be there. And that energy, that impact of little late hits, you know, if there's a pile, like, he's going to find a way in there and he might knock a ball out. Like, the interceptions and stuff will come for him, but the physicality he brings, snap in, snap out, and I would say Percy Butler and Jeremy Chan are starting to do this really well as well. There's a play last week where there's kind of like one of those pileups at the line, and Percy comes flying down and just knocks the crap out of James Conner, and you're like, oh, that's fun. So all those guys are playing with great physicality, and it definitely, it's not going to show up as much because they're not, hopefully your safeties aren't making a ton of solo tackles, but watch when there's those big pileups around the ball. Quan Martin's going to be there, and he's going to arrive with bad intentions, and that's the kind of stuff that Joe Witt Jr. absolutely loves.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.